Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts chapter 20. After the uproar ceased, Paul said to the disciples, "Yet after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he's gone through those regions and given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months when a plot was made against him by the Jews. As he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return to Macedonia. So Peter the Berean, the son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart the next day. And he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. Being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." When Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive, and were not a little comforted. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Azores, intending to take Paul aboard there, for so he had arranged, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we came the following day opposite Chios. The next day, we touched at Samos. And the day after that, we went to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. This is the word of the Lord.
And thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. To the Holy Spirit.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Well, you have here in the midst of Paul's journeys the story that every pastor loves to tell at his confirmation class. About Eutychus, the young boy, whose name means fortunate, sitting in a window and falling asleep during a sermon and dying as a result of it. You also have to point out at the same time, they were mocking the prophet Elisha when a bear came out and ate them. And I stand in the office of Paul and Elisha, so be careful. Watch what you're doing. We like to do that with the scripture, don't we? We take the points in Scripture and we compare them to us and we say, this is where we get our meat because they're so much like us, we're going to be those people now. The whole idea behind what would Jesus do, not always a bad idea, by the way. I mean, there is a third use of the law. What would Jesus do? But we tend to parallel our lives with those biblical characters that we find, and sometimes as a result, we miss the meaning. We miss the purpose. We miss the foundation that we're supposed to be receiving. This is important with Eutychus because I'm trying to figure out who I could be in that story. Because many times during sermons, do I dare admit this? I have fallen hopelessly asleep. It's really bad. Fortunately, I wasn't preaching during most of those. But I remember I was an overnight chaplain when I was in seminary, and I would get out of the hospital just in time to go to church for the 8 o'clock service. I would meet my wife there. I would sit down, and no matter how hard I tried, I would fall asleep. As soon as I sat down, and the church I went to, about the first time you sat down was during the sermon, and it was so warm, so nice, and the pastor had such a calming, monotone voice, and I would just drift off. I always told my wife, it's because I'm comfortable in the Lord's house. But I don't really see myself as Eutychus in the story, because first of all, I've never been raised from the dead in the same way that he has. I've never really fallen out of a three-story window, died, and then come back to life. And so I have a hard time finding myself in that story. I don't want to be, say, Paul, who drones on and on and on through the night. By the way, did you notice that Luke is not especially kind to Paul as he says this? He went on till midnight, then he kept going. Paul himself says that he's not a dynamic preacher. We've got to take that seriously. When you say something in Scripture, that's not always just humility. That's sometimes the truth. Paul was probably not a dynamic preacher, but the word of truth that he brought was dynamic. The counsel that he brought was dynamic. But I don't find myself in Paul either. I mean, after all, the things that Paul went through, it says in the start of the chapter, after the uproar, Paul was just in Ephesus. They were trying to kill him, remember? As a matter of fact, they tried to kill everybody in Ephesus, it seems. That was a horrible church. If you ever get a call to Ephesus, decline it. No matter what the job, decline it. I mean, it's not really there anymore, but the apostle Paul had trouble there. Timothy had trouble there. St. John the Apostle had trouble there. The whole third letter of John said, they're kicking out all the apostles and they won't let us in to the church. I mean, this is a bad place. And then Paul goes out and says, after the commotion, Luke has a way of minimizing things. Like after the young man is raised from the dead, he says, there was no small happiness. But I'm not Paul. Who am I in this reading? Who are you? And the answer is actually no one. You're not in this story. You're the beneficiary. This reminds me a lot of something. I'm warning everybody in advance, so when you hear me do it this Lent, you'll know that I'm breaking my own rules. This reminds me a lot of Lenten sermons that I hear where the preacher thinks that the point of the suffering and death of Jesus is to compare it to our suffering and death, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world, because if our suffering and death is the same as Jesus' suffering and death, then neither one of them is redemptive. I suffer either because I live in a sinful world or because I'm stupid and sinful or both. Jesus suffered. Bear my sins and take them away. Jesus didn't do as St. Augustine long taught. In fact, fact, I've actually heard a preacher quote Augustine on Good Friday talking about how here you have in the cry of dereliction the voice of the obedient servant showing you how far obedience to the Father's will must go. Here you have the voice of God crying out the dereliction that belonged to his people, that they might never have to cry. So what's going on in Troas? As Luke says, we went here, we went there. And not only is he saying that he's a first-hand witness, but this is for him, this is for the church, this is for you. I know I'm butting against the large majority of Lutherans when I say this, but I don't believe that when Luke wrote his gospel and the book of Acts to a man named Lover of God, that he was actually writing to a single person. I think he was writing to you and me. What is the foundation of your faith? On what does it stand? Where do you find its basis? Where do you find its hope? Find its hope in that which is preached, that which is proclaimed, that which is given is for you now and always and ever shall be. And those who delivered it stood in their office because Jesus sent them. And you can tell that they stood in their office because as St. Paul goes to that young man and says, he's not dead, he's alive, it sounds just like what Jesus said, doesn't it? As he went and said, the little girl is not dead, she's alive. Because you see, there's one thing that's in common throughout the scripture that you find happening. Death, although it's a curse, the greatest curse that we'll ever face, the shroud that enfolds all nations, the blanket that covers all people, according to Isaiah, you see in places that the Lord works that death is being rolled back, that he's confronting it face to face, and he wins every time. The last time we got together in chapel, Jesus was there with the widow Nain and her son. And he walks into the middle of the funeral procession and says, stop! Death stops before the Lord. He takes the young man and gives him back to his mother. Where do you find yourself in the story? You're not the young man on the fire, you're not a mother. But you are among all of those who are the beneficiaries of being the love object of a God who raises the dead and rolls back death, who forgives sins by his own death, who comes and stands in the midst of you and says, death shall end. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I make all things new. As you look at what Jesus gives, you look at the voice that's spoken those words through the years. Is it reliable? Is it faith? Is it his voice? I mean, after all, isn't that the real question that we need to be asking? If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, are those who are speaking that word to us speaking with his voice, with his truth, with his message, or do we hear another? Because if we hear another voice other than his, then we have no hope. We have no confidence that the resurrection is ours, that the forgiveness of sins is ours. And we all have many sins for which to die, many sins over which to fear. But Paul not only sounds like Jesus when he preaches, he looks like Jesus when he raises the dead. Paul not only sounds like Jesus when he preaches, He looks like the prophet Elijah. And the prophet Elijah, when he raises young men from the dead, you see, there's been a consistent message throughout the ages that you can trace to Old Testament men. The voice of the Son of God speaking life into the world. Just as he spoke life into the world at the very beginning of the world, he speaks life into the world now, and his promise truly the day is coming. And now is here when those who are in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of Man and will live. He speaks still. And you can recognize the place where he speaks. He spoke you first out of your death when he took you to the font and baptized you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I, by the way, am one of the great baptizers in the history of the world because children never cried when I baptized them. Except a few. Like my own. I baptized my second daughter. I couldn't figure out why this quiet, gentle child was screaming all the way through the baptism, and her mother said, "Well, your other daughter kept grabbing her foot and tugging me." I said, "Oh." So I picked her up. I held her. She quieted in my arms. I poured the water over her, and she screamed at me. I said, "Oh, good. I had sisters." Because it isn't actually what I give. Because I can't give a thing by pouring water on. According to my wife, I didn't even get him clean when I bathed him, at least not clean enough. But it wasn't about me, because the Lord was still speaking in baptism. The Lord is still speaking in yours today. The Lord will speak again to yours if you plummet from a third-story window, or if you fall asleep in a hospital bed, or wherever you are. Because his sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. Spoken by Elijah, Elisha, Paul, and the prophets, and the faithful pastors and preachers through the age. Though you are dead, yet shall you live. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I am your God. You are my people. Promises through the ages are spoken out. And we know the voice of him who speaks. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Victor and Annie, short-term volunteers who serve the Lord at Matongo Lutheran Seminary in Kenya. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.